Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I asked for him from the Lord. Verses 9 through 20, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the many ways your word empowers us, guides us, counsels us, and strengthens us as we take time to read and meditate on it. Help us more and more with every passing day to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word each and every day. And Lord, I pray that you'd move upon the heart of every single listener in such a way that, particularly for those that really haven't managed to make it a habit of getting into your word today, do something mighty and miraculous in their hearts to stir them to begin, with your help, to be committed to getting into your word every single day and thus receiving the blessing, the strengthening, the encouragement, the spiritual nourishment that comes from spending time with you one-on-one in your word. And Father, help us as parents to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read and meditate in your word daily so that they too can benefit tremendously from the wonderful gift and blessing your word is as we receive it each and every day into our hearts and our minds. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for joining us here on the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we want to continue to encourage you. If you haven't taken the time, please go to our Facebook pages, go to the Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like our Facebook pages if you would. Also, we want to encourage you to go to the Urban Family website, which is urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Go there and subscribe. Also, please take time to read some of the blogs that you'll find there. I think you'll find them spiritually encouraging and challenging in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. Simply go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk. And that way you can take Urban Family with you anywhere you may choose to go. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we opened, we read a passage from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I want to go ahead and read the balance of that latter part of the chapter. Picking up at verse 10, again it says these words. Verse 19. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Now, as we look into God's word today, we want to invite you to focus on this topic, biblical insights for Christian mothers. And as we're sharing, I want to share with you some important insights that will bless and help mothers in helping to be a godly mom that is helping them to mold and to shape your children, but also truths about putting the spiritual weapons God has made available to them to work for you as a mother for your children, whether you have one child or two or three or several children. The important truth, some of the important truths that come from God's word are important for us to know and understand in order to put them to work in our lives. You know, there are many weapons God has made available in the kingdom of God that are powerful weapons that can affect the lives of our children in wonderful ways if we use them. But now that's the big $64,000 word, if that is. In other words, if you don't put these weapons to work, what good will they do you? On the other hand, when we learn to put them to work, they can make all the difference in the world. So here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, as we're looking at the topic of biblical insights for Christian mothers, we're talking to every mom that may be listening today. But also keep in mind, a lot of these things obviously would apply to moms and dads as well. But again, these are truths that will help us as parents to affect the lives of our children in some very important ways. So as we look first at 1 Samuel chapter 1, keep in mind, these are some very practical tools that if you put them to work, they will make all the difference in the world in your life and in the lives of our families and our children as well. As we start off, I want to share a poem that's a touching poem, and it's a simple one. It says, a faithful Christian mother will seek to carry her children in at least places three, in her womb, in her heart, in her prayers, faithfully. Now, I want to share the poem again, but I want you to keep in mind, it's a neat little rhyming poem, but it has a powerful insight that every parent should pay attention to. Listen to it again. A faithful Christian mother will seek to carry her children in at least places three, in her womb, in her heart, in her prayers, faithfully. And let me share with you again my email so that if you want to get some of the resources that we make available that we want to share, please do email us and say, I want some of the insight, some of the resources you shared on the program that's meant to help mothers in particular and parents, period. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And one of the resources that I want to encourage you with right offhand is a prayer book simply entitled Praying in Victory. And I've mentioned it before, but it's entitled Praying in Victory. And actually, prayinginvictory.com can pull it up for you. I want to encourage you to download that prayer book. One of the prayers in there is a prayer called Praying for Our Children. It's a very powerful, biblically-based prayer based on the Word of God that I want to encourage every parent listening, get the book. And in particular, it has a prayer, Praying for Our Children, a biblically based prayer that I want to encourage you to pray over your children every single day. And every day you take time to pray it, it will have a positive effect on the life of your child and your children. So I hope you will take time to pray it every single day over your children. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. And the book is entitled Praying in Victory. Just email me and be glad to send it to you. Or again, now you can go directly and get it yourself. Prayinginvictory.com is where you get the book, an excellent prayer tool that will help you praying for a number of different important life topics, but in particular, praying for our children. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, it's a great chapter for you to read and meditate on over and over and over again because actually has a number of very important insights for any mother in particular, but any parent about the importance of living a life of prayer in the lives of our families and our children. Of course, as we read through the story, you see And of course, we didn't read the whole chapter, so be sure and go back and read the whole chapter. It's not a very long chapter, but it's a very insightful chapter in the life of a family that loved the Lord. But just in a nutshell, a man by the name of Elkanah had two wives. The name of one was Peninnah, the other one was Hannah. Peninnah had several children. Hannah had no children. And as one might would expect, there was a bit of a rivalry between them, and Peninnah would make fun of Hannah because she had no children. And of course, obviously that upset her very much so. So when they'd go to the temple, Hannah wouldn't eat. She would be so upset. But one day she decided to stop crying about her problem, feeling bad about her problem, being depressed about her problem. She decided to do something productive. She decided, I'm going to God. I'm going to give this matter to God in prayer. Now, keep in mind, what a great step, but a great step of wisdom. Because many times in life, often, parents do this, moms do it, dads do it sometimes. We do it in many areas of life, sadly, too often. We complain about a problem, are concerned about the problem, discouraged about the problem. However, honestly praying about it is something that sometimes people don't do. Parents, keep in mind, every mom listening, every dad listening, pay close attention to what I'm telling you. One of the most powerful weapons and effective weapons you have to affect the lives of your children is your prayer life. Keep in mind, as you read through the story, you find that Hannah decided to go to God in prayer. And remember, the desire of her heart was to have a son. Now, she specifically asked for a son. She didn't say, just give me a child. She said, a son. And she made a vow to God that if God would give her a son, she would dedicate him back to God. Now you may ask, well, is it okay to be specific and tell God specifically what you want? Sure it is. You can tell him the desire of your heart, but now keep in mind, God has the last word. If he decides to give you what you ask for and you ask for a son, God certainly can do that. But on the other hand, God in his sovereignty may choose to bring you a daughter. But keep in mind, God in his wisdom and his sovereignty knows what's best. But the fact is, it's okay to ask for the desire of your heart. Well, that's what Hannah did. She asked for a son, and God granted her petition and gave her a son. And so she made her word good. And after her son was born, and then after she weaned him, she brought him to the temple. And she reminded Samuel what she'd said before, reminded Samuel of her vow. And she dedicated her son back to God. And she left him to be raised in the temple in service of the Lord. And so what a noble thing that was. If you can picture what it was like for a young mother, Hannah, her only child, the child she'd prayed for and God had answered her prayer. And if you can picture her as she leaves her little son just freshly weaned. So apparently it was a very, very young child, very little boy. But she left him at the temple. If you can picture her with the tears flowing down her eyes, but realizing, I've given him to you, God. I'm leaving him in your hands, and I thank you for him. Well, of course, keep in mind, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And of course, if you know the story, God blessed Hannah with other children as well. But on a yearly basis, she would come and visit her son Samuel and make him a little coat. But she was a loving mom, but she kept her word. And Samuel, in line with the word of God, grew up to become a great and mighty man of God, a mighty prophet of the Lord, and God used him mightily. But keep in mind, not only did Hannah, a young mom, receive the desire of her heart after she prayed, and keep in mind, that's a very important lesson all by itself, because the Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. There are many instances where the reason we don't have certain things, simply because we haven't asked for them. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. As we look at the topic of biblical insights for Christian mothers, we'll be right back.
You know, if you see a huge group of people, and they're all in line waiting to do something, and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? Why are these people so excited? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993, so they can handle your healthcare expenses too. With MediShare, you get affordable options to fit almost any budget. For most members, MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. You should at least check into it. This may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? What was I thinking? Don't miss out. You can find out more. Call 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
When I was coaching, I made a point to have regular Bible studies and chapels for our players and staff. My hope in those settings was to continually plant the empowering and affirming message of Christ in the players' hearts and to allow that message to work according to God's purposes in each of them, to let the word of Christ dwell within them. How might that look in various settings of your life? Perhaps at home it starts with prayer in the morning with your spouse and children. Wherever you find yourself, consider ways you can let the word of Christ dwell within you and others.
New York Times best-selling author Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
The Capital One commercial will forever be etched in the ear of the listener. What's in your wallet is a phrase that won't easily be forgotten. But this is not a Capital One plug. I want you to think about the people that are in your circle of influence. Who's in your circle is my new catchphrase. Simply because we don't think enough about the people or spirits that we allow into our personal space. Negativity is contagious and fatal. Misery loves company, and it's fatal to your hopes and dreams. I think we all know someone who, no matter what good has happened, always has something negative to say. Ugh, that really bothers me. That bad attitude and that pessimistic spirit will only cause you to do the same. There's no room for doubt, especially if you're believing God to bring that vision to fruition. Now, this is not a license for you to be mean. It is, however, a license for you to assess who's in your circle and make the necessary adjustments. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
C.C. Winans, the song simply entitled Comforter. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're looking today at the topic of biblical insights for Christian mothers. And again, part of what we're looking at is weapons that mothers and actually mothers and parents as well can use. And if we use them effectively, they can have a huge effect on our lives. Now, keep in mind, one of the reasons why sometimes parents get discouraged as they pray for and pray over their children is because sometimes you pray and you lift them up to the Lord, but you don't see results. We know the reality is, You know, we like to see results like 2 seconds after we do what we're pursuing. Well, sometimes, again, obviously God works in, well, typically God works in his own time frame. And you may not see the fruit until tomorrow. Sometimes it may be next week, next month, next year, or years down the road. But the important thing is never give up. Keep lifting your children up before the Lord in prayer, because remember this, God is always at work. You just may not see his hand, but God is always at work. I'm reminded of an interesting story about a great servant of the Lord. Let me share this briefly with you before we come back to 1 Samuel. But probably one of the best-known Christian mothers from Christian history is a woman by the name of Monica. She was a monumental figure in her son Augustine's autobiography entitled Confessions. Mother of three children, wife of a difficult man, she longed to secure every good thing for her son Augustine. Early in his life, he was a rebel and living and just rejected her faith, but she spent much time in prayer and crying tears over her son and pleading for God to touch him, to change, turn his life around, and for him to live a life mightily serving the Lord. Well, of course, one day God touched his heart, and he did turn his life. God turned his life around. He committed his heart to the Lord, and not only did Augustine come to be saved, but he became a great man of God, a great preacher of the gospel, and a tremendous theologian that has blessed the world and still blesses the world with his writings and many of his contributions to Christian history. But again, in his mind, one of the great figures that blessed his life and encouraged his life was his mother, Monica, who prayed earnestly and fervently for him for years and years. Moms and dads, don't give up praying for your children. Keep standing in faith for them, because we serve a God that's more than able to do things. But keep in mind, God does things on his own timetable, not yours or mine. And thank God that he does, because he knows how to do it and how to do it correctly. So again, in looking at 1 Samuel, the mother there, of course, Hannah, she prayed for a son, and God answered her prayer. I want to take a moment just to pray the prayer as found in the book, Praying in Victory. And keep in mind, again, if you want to get a copy of the book, the prayer book entitled Praying in Victory, simply email us again at jparker@afa.net, or you can go online directly and just go to prayinginvictory.com and download it. But let's pray this prayer found in that prayer book, Praying for Children. I thank you, Father, that your word prevails over our children. I thank you that they are taught of the Lord and continue to be the fruit of godly instruction and correction. Great is their peace and undisturbed composure. Father, give us counsel and wisdom in bringing up our children. I say they are obedient, not conforming to the things of the flesh, but holy in all conduct, desiring the pure milk of the word that they may grow thereby. I pray that they are swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Their conduct is without covetousness, and they are content with what they have. They do not forget to do what is right and to share. I pray that they grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and abound more and more in how they should walk and please you. I pray that they submit to their elders and to one another, being clothed with humility. I pray that they cast their cares upon you, Father, for you care for them. I thank you that they are doers of the word and not hearers only, effectively sharing our faith, and not having a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Father, you have saved them and called them with a holy calling, not according to works, but according to your own purpose. Deliver them from every evil work and preserve them. They will by no means follow strangers, not knowing their voices. They will abide with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, and cursing comes not out of their mouth. Because Jesus keeps them safe, the wicked one does not touch them. Give your angel special charge to accompany, defend, preserve, and provide safety for them day and night. Because they keep your word, your love is being perfected in them. They do not love the world or the things in the world, and they do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. They walk in the light as you are in the light, cleansing their hands and purifying their hearts. They follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. They have a good conscience and desire to live honorably, having favor and high esteem with God and man. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, that biblically based prayer is found in the book, the prayer book entitled Praying in Victory. And the prayer is entitled Praying for Children. Again, every mom listening, every parent listening, I want to encourage you, download that prayer book, prayinginvictory.com, and pray that prayer over your children every day. And every day you pray it, it will have a positive effect on the life of your child or children. So I hope you'll take time to do that. Well, so God heard the prayer of Hannah. He blessed her with a son, and she kept her word. She dedicated her son, Samuel, back to the Lord. Now, keep in mind, she prayed and asked God, and God answered her prayer, and she kept her word. But keep in mind, what she did was a very, very wise thing. And actually, what she did is something that any and every parent listening can do as well. Now, keep in mind, you might think, well, it's too late because my child's been born and has grown and gone, and so I didn't remember to do it maybe when I was a child or when he was a child, he or she was a child, and so they're grown and gone now. Well, now, keep in mind, parents, it's important that you understand, by the grace of God, parents have influence in the lives. We have influence in the lives of our children in ways that sometimes neither they nor we fully understand. The fact is, basically speaking, children can always speak into the lives of their children. Now, the parent may or may not realize that, but your words have impact on your children's mind. Part of it is just because you're a parent, their parent. Your word impacts them in a unique way. And, you know, keep in mind, parents, you need to keep this very important point in mind, too. Always be a teacher and a counselor for your children. Now, be wise in the way you provide it. Now, of course, when our children are small, dad and mom and dad, we're boss. We're in charge, and they're to do what we tell them. Now, when they're grown, keep in mind, you need to do what you do with wisdom and grace. Now, the fact is, you offer counsel, but you don't shove it down your child's throat. That's a good way to create distance between you and your child. Especially when our children are young adults, they don't like to be told what to do. And if you decide, well, I'm your mother or I'm your father and I'm going to tell you, well, that's a good way to alienate them because, again, they want it to be known I'm independent. I'm an adult now. But if you wisely and graciously offer counsel, many times they will receive it better. But also keep in mind, it's very common when children are young, and it's common even when adult children are grown, they don't want dad and mom to think that you're really, really wanting their counsel. Often, you know, that's just often the case. And so children, when they're small, sometimes they'll try to pretend like, I'm really not listening to you, dad or mom. I'm not really paying attention. But keep in mind, parents, don't fear. Our children listen a whole lot more than we think they do. They do that when they're young and even as adults. Now, especially young adult children, they don't want you to think they're really listening. They don't want you to think often that they're really paying attention because they want you to think that, well, I'm an adult now and I don't need counsel. But the reality is this. All of us, if we're wise, will be wide open to good counsel from wherever it may come all your life long. If we're wise, we will always be teachable because God will use your peers, sometimes he'll use parents, sometimes he may use children, people younger than you, to teach you important truths. The key is be teachable, be open to wisdom from wherever it comes, and be wise enough to discern good counsel from bad counsel, wisdom from foolishness. Be discerning, but the fact is, if we're wise and have our ears and our understanding open, we can learn new things, good things, wise things every single day. And it's the Spirit of God that helps us to be discerning, to know what's good, what's not good, what's wise and what is unwise. So, again, if our children are wise, they will listen. But keep in mind, young adult children often don't want you to think they're really listening. But parents, fear not. Again, children at every age are listening to the voice of their parents one way or another in many instances. In fact, it's very common to run into adults that will very often make statements like, Mama used to say, or Daddy used to say. And if their parents were still living and you were to ask that same parent, did your children listen to you? And many of that same parent would say, no, my children never listened to me. My son, my daughter never listened to me. Well, see, they fooled you. Because again, that's very common with children. They don't want you to think, Dad and Mom, that they're listening, but they are listening very often. So let's be wise enough to make the most of the influence we have in the lives of our children. Fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God so that you have good wisdom to give them. Because the more you fill your heart and mind with God's Word of wisdom, then you can pass that wisdom on to your children. On the other hand, when parents give bad advice, that too has an impact on our children. So too often, children learn bad lessons from parents sometimes, even when they mean well. But bad advice is bad advice wherever it comes from. So we need to be seeking the wisdom of God because that's what will bless and encourage our children in their lives. So Hannah, Again, she prays and God gives her what she asks for. But keep in mind, in addition to Hannah not only praying and receiving her the petition she asked for, also she dedicated her son to God. And parents, all of us at any age, you can do this with your children, because remember, God has entrusted the children to you, and you in turn can re-entrust them back to God at any age, whether they're a baby in the womb, whether they're a newborn baby, whether they're an arm baby, a toddler, elementary age, middle school, high school, college, even adult. You have influence and power in the lives of your children. And because God entrusted them to you, you can entrust them back to God in prayer and be wise enough to be like Hannah and say, Lord, I dedicate my child back to you. As long as my child is alive, Lord, I lend my child afresh into your hands. And you know, parents, it wouldn't hurt if you did that every day of your child's life. Reminding God, God, you have claim on my child and I'm giving it to you. And God appreciates that. Because again, you're entrusting something back to God that he first entrusted to you. And don't ever make the mistake of thinking you don't have the ability to do that. Yes, you do. No matter where your child is, let God know, God, you have a claim on my child. I recommit them into your hands. Parents, you're wise to do that on a regular basis. Lord, thank you for each of our children. Thank you for the gifts they are to us. But more than that, thank you for the gifts they are to you and to the body of Christ. Lord, on this day, as parents, we recommit our children into your hands. Lord, as long as they're alive, we lend them to you to use for your glory, for your kingdom, and for your purposes. Lord, move upon their hearts by the power of your Spirit. Do a work in them to where wherever they go, they'll just recognize and more be drawn by your Spirit to recognize they belong to you and that they're here for your purposes, your will, and your glory. Bless them according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Another important lesson and important truth to be drawn from that chapter is, in addition to the story of 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of Hannah and her son Samuel, yes, a very true story, but at the same time, an important truth behind the surface story is that just like Hannah went to God in prayer and asked God for a son, again, the story also teaches us some important truths about prayer. Many times, remember, in prayer, the way prayer works is often God will place a desire on your heart, and he put it there, and he's waiting for you to bring that desire to him in prayer. And when you pray and say, God, would you bless me with this? God will gladly answer that prayer and bless you with the desire of your heart, and you'll get what you want. But remember, God put the desire there to begin with, and not only will you get what you want, God gets what he wants as well. So everyone wins when we follow through with God's part. In other words, think of it this way. God places that seed of a desire in your heart, and through prayer, you birth that dream into reality. You birth that dream, and it's not only your dream, it's God's dream as well. So that's why it's so important for us to fill our lives with prayer, because many times these are things that God wants to happen more than you want to happen. And when we pray, God gets what he wants, and you get what you want as well. But sadly, when God's people don't pray, many times, remember what James says, you have not because you ask not. You don't get what you want. And sadly, sometimes God may not want, at least in the time frame he wants it, what he wants either. And God may have to find someone else who will pray to get what he's desiring in the earth in that situation. Don't be a believer that God has to skip over because you don't pray. Don't be someone God has to go around because you won't pray and he needs to find someone who will pray. Don't miss out on that reward and the blessing of receiving that gift as well. Be a person who lives a life given to prayer. Moms, pray a lot. Dads, pray a lot. Parents, pray for your children every single day. We'll be right back after this break.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
I'm David. It took a drunk of fighting and losing a sight in one eye for me to see that alcohol is wrecking my life. And at Teen Challenge, I found the tools to leave that lifestyle behind me for good.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Most of us long for a sense of fulfillment in what we do, but Dr. Tony Evans says we may be looking for it in the wrong place. He'll talk about where real satisfaction comes from as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In our homes, we all have appliances, right? They are good things to serve you. We all love the technology that appliances provide us. Refrigerators, stoves, electric can openers, toasters. You know, they're just great to have. No appliance determines its own purpose. The refrigerator didn't say, that's what I'm going to be. The manufacturer, the maker said, that's what you're going to be, and constructed it accordingly. You don't get to decide. God has already written it down and decided, but he constructed you for the decision. He's made you so that you can facilitate a decision. Neither does an appliance exist for itself. Refrigerators don't eat their own food. Stoves don't eat what they cook. And toasters don't chew on their bread. Unless they're real old, then they may chew it up, but you know what I mean. In other words, their fulfillment is doing what they do. As long as the refrigerator is getting cold, it's fulfilled because it's doing what it was constructed to do. Your fulfillment is in doing the good work you were created to do because of the masterpiece you are. God has masterfully constructed you, and you are perfect in terms of God's plan, but you have to walk in it by your decision and your choices.
Learn more about how to find your purpose as a child of God and live it out successfully. Check out Tony's CD series, The Spiritual Toolkit, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to Covenant Church, the song My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of Biblical Insights for Christian Mothers. We're speaking of tools, spiritual tools you can use in the raising and guiding of your children. And we've been focusing mainly on 1 Samuel chapter 1, the chapter that focuses largely on the prayer life of a young mom by the name of Hannah and how God did something mighty in her life. Now, keep in mind, if you read further in the Word of God, you find that Samuel, he too, in a very important way, followed in the footsteps of his mom. He too became a great man of prayer and a great servant of prayer, and God used his prayer life mightily to bless the whole nation of Israel. I want to share once again another poem. It says author unknown, but it's a simple poem about, it's called A Mother's Blanket of Prayer. And the poem says, "When you were young and it was cold outside, with a blanket I covered you with care. Now that you are older and the world is much colder, I now cover you with a blanket of prayer." Now I'm going to read it again because, again, it has some very wise insight in that poem. Again, A Mother's Blanket of Prayer. When you were young and it was cold outside. With a blanket, I covered you with care. Now that you are older and the world is much colder, I now cover you with a blanket of prayer. What a wise parent it is that when we blanket our children in prayer, that we cover their lives and pray much for them, not just here and there or every once in a while when a big challenge comes up. Blanketing our children in prayer every single day. And keep in mind, that's something any parent can do that is a believer. Whether you have a lot of money or a little money, no matter what part of town you live in, no matter what color your skin might be, any parent can bathe their child in prayer. And that's what we're supposed to do. Because remember, moms and dads, if you're not praying for your child, there may not be hardly anybody else in this world that's doing it. But on the other hand, who can pray for your child like you can? So let's be sure to make it one of the higher priorities of our lives to blanket our children's lives with prayer. And keep in mind, don't be discouraged if you don't see the results you want to see right away. Because remember this, when we pray according to the Word of God, God is always going to respond. If we pray according to God's Word, God is always going to respond. But remember, He responds in His own time and in His own way. So don't be discouraged if you don't see the fruit and result that you like to see as quickly as you want to see it. So also looking in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, interesting story, a passage found here. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 1, tells us these words. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Verses 1 through 13, Proverbs chapter 31. Now, I've always liked to point out this very important point about this passage. Now, again, as you look at the whole chapter of Proverbs chapter 31, keep in mind, as we see, it starts out by saying the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Now, something that can be easily missed as parents as we read it, but is very important, is note this. This is a passage that is being remembered. These are truths that King Lemuel remembers, insights that he remembers, but specifically he's remembering the things that his mother taught him. So this chapter is not just what King Lemuel remembered, it's things he remembered that his mother taught to him. Now, apparently, Lemuel was listening. Now, for parents listening, you might think to yourself, well, I wish my child listened that well. Well, let me give you a little bit of insight. As I was touching on this earlier, moms and dads, your child listens a whole lot better than you think he or she does. Now, you might think, well, no, you don't know my child. My child never listens. Actually, they do. It's just children often become highly skillful at making you think they don't listen. But often children are listening actually a whole lot more than you think. So much so that sometimes they're listening even when you don't want them to be listening. Sometimes they hear things you don't want them to hear because they're continually listening. And so they really do hear more than we think. So often, parents, we need to make the most of teaching and training them according to God's Word. Because in so many ways, our children really are like sponges. They're soaking up the things that you say. And remember, because you're a parent, again, you have influence and power in the lives of your children. Often your words will resonate in a way that other people's words will not, because you are mom or dad. So don't miss that insight about your life as a parent. Yes, your words have an impact on your child in ways that neither you nor your child fully understands, but your word impacts your child in a wonderful way that other people's words just quite don't do. So be wise enough to let's teach our children all their lives. We are to be teachers for our children. When they're small, we're to teach and train them what to do. When they're adults, we're to share counsel with them, especially when they ask for it. But then sometimes we may need to graciously offer counsel. And we need to have wisdom to know when to speak and when to be quiet. But the fact is, parents, we're to always be teachers for our children. And if they're wise, they will always be listening. And remember, as adults, it doesn't necessarily mean our children have to do what we say when they're grown. But often, God will send wisdom for their lives that will bless their lives through the parents. And so wise children will at least listen and learn from the wisdom of their parents. Well, so the chapter opens up, and King Lemuel is remembering the things that his mother taught him. So what does she say? Well, one of the first things she says, verse 3 says, "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." This mom was wise enough to tell her son, "Son, be careful of loose women." And of course, we know parents were to be wise enough to teach our boys to be careful of loose girls and teach our girls to be careful of loose boys, to stay away from them because they're bad news. This mom was wise enough to tell her son, "Son, look out for this kind of girl that's out there." And wise parents will prepare their children for the snares of the devil out there in the form of wicked individuals. So this mom was wise enough to do that. Then she went on to say, verse 4, the last sentence says, "Nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted." This mom was wise enough to also tell her son, "Son, don't get drunk. Don't get high." In other words, don't become drunk. And obviously, now keep this very important point in mind. There's never a right time to be drunk. There's never a right time to get high. Now, the fact is, again, not on your birthday, not on New Year's, not on any celebration. There's never a good time to get drunk, because when you're drunk or high, you don't know what you're doing. And the sad reality is many of people have gotten drunk or high and went out and did something in such a way that they hurt someone else, or may have hurt themselves, or may have even ended the life of someone else accidentally and ended up in a penitentiary somewhere, not because they meant to, but because they got drunk or high. Again, God's word makes it clear there's never a right time to get drunk. Teach your children, never get drunk, never get high, not even once. Reminded of a tragic story of a young athlete who, on the verge of going into the NBA, true story, but he took drugs one time, it stopped his heart, and he died instantly. What a tragedy that was, but the reality is taking drugs one time was fatal for him. Again, it's wise to avoid those kinds of things altogether. There's never a good time to get drunk or high. So this mom was wise enough to teach her son, "Son, don't get drunk." Then she went on to say to her son as well, "Open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth to judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy." She was saying, "Son, look out for the weak. Look out for the little people. Look out for people that cannot speak on their own behalf. Always be concerned about the disenfranchised, the have-nots, the people that are weaker than you in life. Be concerned about others in need. Be a person of compassion and a person of mercy." That's what his mom was teaching her son. And wise parents, we should always teach our children, we're acting like Jesus when we walk in mercy and walk in compassion and look out and speak up on behalf of those that cannot speak for themselves. So, again, the mom was wise enough to teach her son, look out for the disenfranchised, the weak people, the people that can't speak for themselves in life. And, of course, in our world, that would be people that may be poor or people that may be without a voice for one reason or another in society. We think of this speaking up on behalf of children who would be otherwise aborted. Well, again, yes, speaking up, speaking out for life and against abortion, that's one of the ways whereby you do that. It's not the only way, but it's one of the ways. But this mom was wise enough to teach her son, "Son, look out for the weak and those left out in life." And then finally in chapter 10 and verse 10, she goes on to say, "Son, let me tell you the kind of wife that you need." And for the rest of the chapter, and she spends most of the chapter telling her son, "Son, this is the kind of wife that you want to get." And she talks about the kind of woman that will be good for him. And parents, just like this mom was wise enough to teach her son about the kind of spouse that he would need, again, we should teach and train our children with the same kinds of insights and truths. Now, keep in mind that your son or daughter may not find someone that meets this description perfectly, but the fact is it's wise to look for many of these kinds of characteristics in their future spouse, because the fact is, again, it makes for a person with integrity, a person that walks in the love of God and the grace of God as well. Well, what are some of the characteristics this mom talked to her son about? Well, someone that can be trustworthy, someone who can be trusted with what they say and what they do. Also, a hardworking person and a person who's industrious, a person who has goals in life, a person who has love for God and love for the things of God and pursues the wisdom and the word of God, someone who carries themselves honorably. And so, parents, we're wise to teach our sons and our daughters, again, to seek to marry a godly individual. You know, one scripture tells us clearly, it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Part of what that means is a believer should seek to marry another believer. Well, you know, how often does it happen? Tragically, it happens too often where a young Christian man, a young Christian woman may fall in love with someone who doesn't love the Lord, and the person may tell him, well, I'm going to get saved after we get married. Well, again, how many times will you hear that? Well, the reality is it's important to understand, too, that's a lie the devil would like to trick someone with. But the fact is, if the person is not saved before they get married, they may not get saved after you marry them as well. But the scripture is clear, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So we should be wise enough to teach and train our children, seek to marry another believer. Because remember, a saved person, your spiritual father is God the Father. An unsaved person, their spiritual father is the devil. So that means if that young man or young woman marries an unbeliever, they make the devil their spiritual father-in-law, and he's going to come visit their home. You don't want that. So parents, again, as we draw our time to close, keep in mind, moms and dads, look to the Word of God as a source of wisdom and counsel in helping us to be wise parents. Pray much for your children. Help them to read the Word of God and be guided by the Word of God. And again, we're steering them in the right direction. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word teaches and trains us to be godly dads and godly moms, godly parents. Lord, bless every mom that's listening today. Bless every dad. Bless every parent. Anoint us afresh with a spirit of prayer that we be committed to praying much for our children every single day. Help us to be wise enough to pray much for our grandchildren as well. And help us to be wise enough to pray for other children as well who may not have been blessed with a godly father or mother who would pray much for them. Help us to be adoptive prayer parents for other children as well. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read your word daily, to be guided by it, and help us to give them counsel according to your word of God that will guide them, that will strengthen them, that will build them up in their faith as well. And Lord, I pray that with every passing day, more and more, I pray that every single mom and dad listening will grow in their desire to want to be there, to want to help their children to grow up to become the godly men and godly women that you want them to be. And help us to know, Lord, that as we teach and train them to follow your word, to read your word, to meditate on your word, and to obey your word, they definitely will be going in the right direction in their life. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for the way your word will prepare us to be godly fathers, godly mothers, godly parents, godly individuals raising children that will live for your glory. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.